Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host to the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our program today features a recent speaker at our Slidell Ministers Association meeting. Hope you enjoy it.
As he said, my name is Danielle Clayton. For those of you who have not met me, I'm very thankful to be here today, so thank you for asking me. I grew up in Baton Rouge, in that area. My parents were very loving, they're very kind. They worked very hard to provide my brothers and sister and I with everything that we needed. They did not have very high levels of education, so once I got past probably about third or fourth grade, I was pretty much on my own with my education. But the Lord was very gracious to me because I did very well in school. I did honors, I was in AP classes, and eventually I was the first person to go to college in my family and graduate. So the Lord was very good, but I'll kind of back up a little bit. Also, my parents were very good. I took dance for a very long time, and they paid for that. The one thing my parents did not do, I was not given a Christian foundation. We did not go to church on Sundays. That was not for church. We actually did not even have a Bible in our home growing up. So grew up, I think I believed that there was a God, and I believed Jesus was the Son of God. I had a knowledge of that. I had heard that. And so I had believed that. But I did not have an understanding of what sin was or what true salvation was. So when I was 17 years old, one of my friends from middle school, she invited me to start going to church with her. And so I started to go because, hey, all my friends were there. So I wanted to hang out with my friends. And if that meant going to church, I would go to church. And so I started going to church. She also actually bought me my first Bible. I tried to read it, and though I had honors classes, I really could not get past a verse or two because I had the desire to do it, but I had no understanding, and I just really couldn't do it. You know, the Holy Spirit wasn't there to really give me that understanding. So I went to church for about 2 years. It was a big church. It was a nice church. It was a very loving church, but there was no ever really true presentation of the gospel. There was never really any true talk about what sin was and how to really repent. And there was never really a real true call to repentance. So I sat in church for 2 years. I thought I was saved. I prayed. I was a good person. So therefore, I'm going to heaven if I die. But I wouldn't. If I would have died and I almost died in a car wreck at 17 years old, I would have gone to hell. And I know that now, but back then I thought I was saved. And there was no convincing me that I wasn't. When I was about 19 or 20 years old, I was in my bedroom one night and the Lord met me there. And I can't describe it, but my eyes were open to what was the truth. And so in my bedroom that night, I began to apologize to the Lord and tell him I was sorry. I didn't really truly understand repentance at that point, but my eyes were open. So I began to just apologize to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I'm sorry, I have been in sin. And so I began to apologize to him. The next semester, I actually moved on to campus at Southeastern. I began to attend the BCM with some of my friends. The roommates I had were the first real Christians that I saw truly live life, where they would pray and they, like in the parking lot, like they would just be in the parking lot, like, oh, we need to pray about something. I mean, that's awesome, you know. And they would have Bible studies and they would actually read the Bible. And it was just like, I got to see people really truly living it out. And so I went to the BCM and there was a true man of God there and he really emphasized the Word of God. And so I began, at the end of every service, there was just a call to repent, and I would just repent every service. But it was good because it was just this beautiful cleansing the Lord did in me through that semester at school. I began to really have a hunger for the Word. Someone had said in a sermon that I had listened to that, you know, the Bible should be our spiritual food, and so if we eat 3 times a day, then we should read the Bible. And so I read the Bible like 6 or 7 times a day at that point. And then I worked at the library, and so as I shelved books at the library, I would listen to hours of sermons because I had such a hunger and such a thirst to really know my Savior. I just spent this semester and that year just really trying to get to know the Lord. The next year, I met this wonderful man named Matthew Clayton. I can't tell you, I never met a person quite like him before. He had such a knowledge of the Word, but he had such a passion for serving God. We met and we started dating in January of 2012. In July of 2012, I graduated from Southeastern. And then in July of 2012, we got married. So we only dated for about 6 months, but we knew it was God's will and got married. The next month, I started to teach. The Lord blessed me with a job in Bogalusa, the teaching position. I did not know anything about St. Tammany. I did not know anything about Washington Parish. I had no idea about anything about Bogalusa, but the Lord opened that door for me. I began to make my hour commute to Bogalusa every day. And on the way home, I cried every day on the way home because it was hard. It was a very hard job. It wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be, so I bawled my eyes out, but it was good. About a month in, there was a fight in my classroom. I had to break it up. And on the way home, I cried, but I didn't cry that day because it was hard. I cried that day because I hadn't been praying for my students like I needed to. So every day after that, and for the next 5 years, I prayed over my classroom, and I prayed over every single desk in that classroom that God would minister to those students, and that God would bless those students, that those students would come into the knowledge of how good God was, and I would be the woman of God I needed to be for those students. So I did that, and over the next 5 years, I never had to fight in my classroom again. And I could not tell you how many times after that kids would come into my classroom just to sit during their lunch period, and they would tell me, "Miss Clayton, your classroom is very peaceful." And so they would think it was just because it was quiet, but it was not. It was because the Holy Spirit was there. That was my first year. So at the end of my first year, I knew the Lord was telling me, do another year. So I did another year. I taught at the high school there. At the end of that year, we found out I was pregnant, and so I decided I'm going to get a job here in Slidell because that makes more sense and it's wisdom. I got a job at Slidell Junior High, which is a wonderful school. I really enjoyed it there. The principal's wonderful. The students were wonderful. In December of that year, when my son was to be born, about a week before, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I knew something was wrong. So I began to pray and ask the Lord, you know, what should I do? Is this just fear? What should I do? And so I was praying, should I wake up my husband? Should we go to the doctor? What should I do? I felt like the Lord had given me Psalm 42, which says, "Why art thou disquieted, O my soul? Hope thou in God." And so I stood on that and went back to sleep. The next day I went to the hospital and there was something wrong. About a week before my son was to be born, Samuel, he had died. There was no heartbeat. And so that was very hard. I can't tell you the grief that you really feel in that. And so in the week between we found out that he was dying, I can't tell you how much the Lord gave us peace and grace in the hospital room that night. And we truly believed that God could do a miracle and that he could bring him back to life because that's the God I serve. And it didn't happen. And so the next week we had the funeral. And that whole week, the Lord reminded me of something I used to listen to in college as I was going through the library. And it was a saying from John Piper that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And at the end of that video, it said, in the midst of tragedy, not prosperity. So God is glorified most in me when I go through tragedy and I'm still satisfied in him. So at that funeral, I decided by the grace of God, I was going to go up there and declare how good and how faithful and how gracious and the miraculous work that my God still is in the midst of my tragedy. Because even if my son died and one person was saved through me declaring the goodness of my God, then his death was worth it for someone else to come into eternity. And so I stood up that and I declared that and I said, my God is good. I don't feel it right now, but my God, he is good and he is gracious and he is real and you should serve him. And so I declared that day. I'm not sure if anybody came into the kingdom, but I planted a seed. So for the next years after that, I began to really just get to know the Lord again, just wanting to serve him again. I continued teaching. The Lord really blessed me with that. I became what was considered a highly effective teacher. My husband and I were the youth pastors at our church, and we began to really pour out into the kids at our church. And then I began to really train under some great people to teach how to really express myself more in my worship. And I was invited to be part of an international group of worshipers called the Movement in Worship. In July of last year, we gave birth to our now son, Micah Gabriel. He is a one-year-old now, and he is very rambunctious but loving. When he was born, before he was born, we had prayed whether or not I should go back to teaching, and so we decided I would take that year off from teaching. And then at the end of that year, we would pray and decide whether I go back to teaching or not. The beginning of this year was when that year was up. And so we began to pray, and I really began to talk to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I wasn't sure if I'd go back to teaching, so I laid out a list of, I'll do this, I'll do that, Lord. And I gave him kind of a list of, if you want me to go back to work, this is kind of the stuff I'm willing to do. And so I didn't really tell anybody what I was thinking. One Sunday at church, one of my sisters in the Lord was praying for me, and she told me, I believe the Lord wants you to open a Christian dance studio to teach young girls how to worship the Lord using dance and movement. Over the next couple of days, I told the Lord, I don't really want to do that, Lord. And I told him, honestly, that was not on my list of what I gave you. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. It's not really what I want to do. And so after a couple of days, the Lord gave me the grace to say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And if I completely missed you and this is not what you want me to do, I'd rather step out in faith and follow you and miss it than to be scared and never step out. And so if I go bankrupt and I miss you, at least I followed you and did what I thought you were calling me to do. So in July of this year, we opened. Really, we serve two purposes. The first is to teach young girls how to dance, such as like ballet and stuff. I was trained in that. I grew up in the competitive dance arena. Honestly, it's not a good place for young girls. The costumes are very bad. The movements are not very good. It's not good, and it affects people spiritually as they grow up if they stay in that atmosphere. So the first purpose is to teach young girls, if you want to learn how to dance, I can teach you how to dance, and you don't have to worry about the costumes or any of that. We pray before each class. And I teach them scriptures so that they can grow up and know their worth and value in Christ. Second really purpose is that I want to teach people how to use dance to worship the Lord. David danced before the Lord, and it was pleasing to the Lord. In Psalm 149, verse 3, it talks about to praise his name in the dance. And so my goal is to teach people how to do that. And I've seen young people and old people that as they do that, they experience healing and they can be set free as they do that. And I also want to bring it to go out and to minister to people, because as people minister and we lift up the name of Jesus, it can minister to others. So that is really our purpose. And the Lord has been good. Since I've opened, I've had a few people give their lives to the Lord. And others, once again, come in and they tell me, this place is very peaceful. So I know the Lord is there and he is moving. And I can't tell you that there are some days where, Lord, I'm like, Lord, I really kind of don't want to do this still. But I just like, Lord, I'm yours. And I go where you tell me. So that is my purpose now, is just to pour into the lives of young people. And so we do have free workshops once a month for people. Last month we did kids. This month, next weekend, I'm doing something for people with special needs, because I have a special needs class, which I don't think is available at most dance studios. And next month will be for women. And I just wanted to leave with two things really that I felt in my short 28 years the Lord has taught me, which is first, that no matter what situation you are facing, you can find your hope, your strength, and your joy in the Lord. In Psalm 84:6, it says, though passing through the valley of Baca, I make it a well. Baca in Hebrew is a valley of weeping. So though I go through a valley of weeping and affliction, I can find the well that is inside of me, which is the Holy Spirit, that can come up and give me life and give me peace and give me strength and give me joy. And the second thing that the Lord has taught me is how to be a true worshiper. And a worshiper is not someone who sings or who dances or who plays instruments. In the Old Testament, worship was the sacrifice of animals to the Lord. In the New Testament, though it was Jesus, it is also us laying down ourselves on the altar and saying, Lord, whatever you want from me, I'm willing to give it to you. Wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to say, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. And so I'm not sure what the next 20 years may hold for me. I might have a dance studio for a year or five. And then in 5 years, he might send me to India And I have to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go. So this is where I'm at. This is my season. And I'm just very thankful to share it with you guys. So.
Thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text. If you have comments about today's programming, something that you heard that was of interest to you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can leave a comment. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this station. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.